Hello, this is David Diga Hernandez, and you're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest sermons and teachings.
Well, I'm really going to challenge your ego this week, and I'm going to talk about the seven trials of the called that have been released by the Holy Spirit to now continue this series. And this week, I'm talking about the test of jealousy. Now, those of you who are in ministry, this is a test that you must pass before the Lord will promote you. And this is one of the more difficult ones because it plays on insecurity. It plays on ego. It plays on ambition. And I'm going to show you in the scripture what happens when you pass this test. It's going to encourage you to put your flesh in check and pass the test of jealousy. Now, in Genesis chapter 40, we continue looking at the progress of the life of Joseph as he begins to walk toward the destiny that God had for him. Now, there's a destiny that God has given to you, and you are walking toward that destiny with every act of obedience. Every step of obedience brings you closer to the destiny and the call of God, to the fulfillment of the plans of God for your life. And as you move in, as you day by day progress in your accomplishment of the will of God in earth, you begin to pass tests. And as you pass these tests, you become promoted in the Spirit. So, as I said during this series before, we're looking at the life of Joseph, and we are seeing him pass various tests on his way to the fulfillment of the dream that God had given to him. And at the same time, I'm also talking about some things that I've experienced in my life that hopefully will also help you and encourage you as we look at these points. Now, go to Genesis chapter number 40. Now, this is where Joseph is already in the prison. Remember, I talked in number 5 of this series about the test of blessings. This is Joseph went from Potiphar's house to the prison. What looked like a demotion in the natural was a promotion in the spirit. Even though he gave up blessings, he was actually promoted. So I encourage you to look at number 5 in this series. But let's go now to Genesis chapter 40, beginning at verse number 1. Again, Joseph is in the prison here. He's been there for a while, and this is where the story picks up. The scripture says, "Sometime later, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer and chief baker offended their royal master. Pharaoh became angry with these two officials, and he put them in the prison where Joseph was, in the palace of the captain of the guard. They remained in prison for quite some time, and the captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, who looked after them. While they were in prison, Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker each had a dream one night, and each dream had its own meaning. When Joseph saw them the next morning, he noticed that they both looked upset. 'Why do you look so worried today?' he asked them. And they replied, 'We both had dreams last night, but no one can tell us what they mean.' 'Interpreting dreams is God's business,' Joseph replied. 'Go ahead and tell me your dreams.' So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream first. 'In my dream,' he said, 'I saw a grapevine in front of me. The vine had 3 branches and began to bud and blossom, and soon it produced clusters of ripe grapes. I was holding Pharaoh's wine cup in my hand, so I took a cluster of grapes and squeezed the juice into the cup. Then I placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand.' 'This is what the dream means,' Joseph said. 'The 3 branches represent 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift you up and restore you to your position as his chief cupbearer. And please remember me and do me a favor when things go well for you. Mention me to Pharaoh so he might let me out of this place.'" Now, the baker also had a dream, but his interpretation was not in his favor. In fact, Joseph interpreted the baker's dream and told him that he would be executed, which he was. Now, recall here that Joseph asked the cupbearer to remember him when he finally stood before Pharaoh. When he was finally restored to his position before Pharaoh, and when he was finally released from the prison, he was told that at that time he was to remember Joseph. So this was Joseph asking that cupbearer to remember him for having interpreted his dream. Now, the scripture tells us in verse number 20, Pharaoh's birthday came 3 days later, and he prepared a banquet for all his officials and staff. He summoned his chief cupbearer and chief baker to join the other officials. He then restored the chief cupbearer to his former position so he could again hand Pharaoh his cup. But Pharaoh impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had predicted when he interpreted his dream. Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, however, forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought. I want you to think about this. Joseph was in prison for longer than the cupbearer. So Joseph was in prison for quite some time. Then the cupbearer comes to prison, has a dream. Joseph interprets that dream, and the cupbearer is restored to his rightful position in front of Pharaoh. This is amazing to me because I see that the cupbearer is receiving that which Joseph is believing for. So the question of jealousy is not whether or not you can celebrate another minister of the gospel. And let me tell you, the truth is that ministers of the gospel are very competitive. And it's sad. It's not just in my generation, it's in former generations. And it's something that I pray in our generation that we finally do away with. Because if we are to focus on winning souls, if we are to focus on what truly matters in the kingdom of God, then we must set aside our egos. We must set aside our ambitions. We must set aside our desires to be the top person or the main person or the center of attention. I don't care what any preacher tells you. Everyone struggles with ambition and ego. That is in the human nature. And so we must live close to Christ to defeat that. Now, Joseph interprets this man's dream. So imagine being the one to declare over somebody that they're going to receive what you've been asking for. So the issue is not just being able to celebrate someone else, not being able to promote someone else. The issue is, are you able to celebrate someone else and promote someone else who flows in your gifting, who operates like you operate, who's believing for what you're believing for? Because if we're not careful, we get this sense of entitlement. Joseph could have been entitled. And he could have said, Lord, I was in prison long before the cupbearer got here, so I'm due for a release before him. How often we think that because of the time we put in, that we deserve to be blessed with something for which we're believing before someone else. But can I tell you, it doesn't work that way. Everything is in God's perfect timing. Now, ministers of the gospel, those of you who sense the call of God on your life, I'm going to tell you this. No matter how pure you begin in ministry, no matter how pure your heart, no matter how pure your motives, no matter how close you are to the Lord, there will always be a danger that you can drift into egocentric ambition, that you will drift into competition and jealousy. You know, you write a book because you want to help people, but oh, how quickly writing that book becomes about having bigger sale numbers. You can do a broadcast because you want to teach and preach the Word of God, but how quickly, if you're not careful, will that broadcast become about the viewership? You want bigger crowds than others. You want to sell more books than others. You want a more popular name than others. You want greater miracles than others. And I'm telling you, if anybody tells you that doesn't enter their heart at some point, or doesn't try to enter their heart at some point, they're lying to you. We must all acknowledge that we have human nature. We must all acknowledge that we have a flesh that we have to battle. I remember in my ministry, when the Lord began to promote me, even though I started without any ambition or impure motive, I'm telling you, when I first began to seek the Lord, it was pure. But as I began to grow, the enemy started to tempt me with this. Now, it's not a sin to be tempted, but we have to be honest with ourselves, and we have to be realistic about the flesh, and we have to acknowledge that there can be a very real problem with jealousy and competition in the body of Christ and even in our own hearts. Because if we don't acknowledge that that's a possibility, then we leave our guard down and we can slowly, subtly drift into competing in ministry instead of complementing in ministry. The kingdom of God is not about competition. It's about cooperation. It is a joint effort, not a solo effort. It is about lifting the name of Jesus, not lifting the name of self. When I began first to battle with this area in my heart of ambition and jealousy, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, please take this from me because I know how the Lord is. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And I said, Lord, how quickly I can get off of track. I mean, think about King David, who started as a shepherd boy, tending the sheep, worshiping God in the fields, and one day found himself as a king who was so filled with pride and arrogance that he committed murder and adultery and thought that he could get away with it. It can happen to anyone. And that is why I'm talking to you now. You have to pass this test. Can you celebrate other ministries? So this is what the Lord did for me. He said, this is how you know you can pass the test of jealousy. When someone else begins to be blessed in the area that you want to be blessed, if you are able to bless them, you pass the test. If you are able to pray more blessings on them sincerely, you pass the test. If you are able to contribute more to their success, you've passed the test. So are you able to lift those who have what you want? Are you able to compliment those who are gifted in the areas that you want to be acknowledged for? And so we have to crucify the ego. I see myself now, I find myself in situations where, I'm going to be honest with you, especially in the world of Christian television. Oh my gosh, world of Christian television. I love it, but at the same time, you get in those green rooms. I used to look forward to the day when I would get to the back rooms and be able to see all the people. But man, you get into those green rooms, those back rooms, there is so much ego there. There is so much competition there. I don't know how many times I've talked to people who, as soon as they see me, they start dropping names of all the people they know who are famous. They start telling me about all their success, and they just want to give you their resume. They take pictures with the popular people, post them on social media, and say, look how favored I am. Yeah, it's real. But we need to be people who are pure. And so what I do when I get into those situations, I call it crucifying the ego. Sometimes I'll get around people and they'll begin to just talk down to me and tell me how much they've accomplished. And what they're trying to do is assert dominance. Now, especially as a male, I want to assert my dominance back. And if I wanted to, I could list my resume and assert myself and push back on that. But what does the Lord have me do? The Holy Spirit will lead me to be gentle and humble. And instead of pushing back and giving them my resume, what I'll do is I'll begin to ask about theirs. I'll begin to compliment what they're doing. I say, that's powerful. That's awesome that God is using you that way. Man, you are so anointed. And I begin to encourage them. And that encouragement does away with their insecurity. And when that insecurity is gone, their guard drops and they can be real with me. And so that's just one example. But it takes a lot to crucify that ego. I've had people talk down to me. I've had people treat me poorly. I've had people try to give me their resume to impress me or to outdo me. But I have to say, I must acknowledge that I died to self a long time ago. You cannot offend a dead man. You cannot stir the ego in someone who's dead. So we must be willing to keep our ego in check, watch our motives, and be willing to bless other ministries. Be willing to take the lower step. Be willing to allow people sometimes to assert their dominance. That's fine. And in that, you show more strength than they do. In that, you show that you're passing this test of jealousy and competition. Bless those who are blessed with what you want. Pray for those who are being favored in the area you want to be favored. Talk well of those who are gifted in the areas that you are gifted. Promote those who have similar ministries to yours and watch the Lord promote you. Do it with a pure heart. Do it sincerely. You'll pass the test of jealousy and God will expand your influence. Well, that's it for that lesson. Now, next week, I'm going to be finishing up this series talking about the test of faith, but I want to pray for you now that God would help you to subject the flesh and move into this area of humility. Humility is so key to ministry. You stay humble, and there is no limit to where God will raise you. You don't speak negative of people who you're jealous. And you know that you speak sometimes jealously negatively of other ministries and people. If you know that, you need to repent right now. So I want you to repent before the Lord, and let's pray that His power would come on you in a fresh way right now. Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray for that one receiving this prayer. And I ask, Lord, that You would anoint that one. Holy Spirit, we can't do this without You. Stay close to us and constantly remind us that we belong to You. Be our constant reminder that it's all about Jesus. It's all about souls. Help us to be those who will carry the gospel with pure motives, pure hearts, and help us to pass these tests, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And I want you to say it if you agree. Say amen.
Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Become a supporter of the Encounter Podcast by becoming a monthly partner or making a one-time donation today. Go to davidhernandezministries.com or call 888-740-1110. And remember, nothing is impossible with God.